Might cover one verse in Psalms 14. We might just do verse 1. The Bible says, once again, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Wear him out, Eric. Wear him out. If any of y'all ever get tired of whipping your children, let me know. I'm second string. I'll fill in, I promise you. It won't bother me nearly as much as it does y'all. I had a stepdad that taught me how to enjoy it. I hear statements like this. And I have to scratch my head sometimes. Because it's hardly ever that you'll meet somebody that says with their mouth, there is no God. And I know we're living in a society where that number's growing rapidly every day. But even those people that sit around and claim they don't believe in God, I believe they're bald-faced liars. I believe most of them believe in God. They're just a bunch of, they want to argue and they just want to have some kind of contention or stir up some kind of strife. Most of them believe in God. You get down there to the nitty-gritty of it, and, well, I'll say this. They don't believe what they say they believe, and they believe more than what they say they don't believe. I'll say that. But I believe a lot of times people start this old stuff in their life because they just want attention. They want extra attention. I wish they could have got an amen right there. But you know what God didn't say in verse 1? God didn't say that people was going to say that with their mouth. That's where the sober part comes into me. That's where I start getting bum-fuzzled. Because he never did say, the fool has said in his mouth, there is no God. He said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I tell you, people, there used to be a time when there was enough fear of God in America and enough fear of God in the average American home that people, you know, just had that respect or that thing where they wasn't going to say there is no God. Even in the lost homes, I mean, there was enough fear of God in America where you wouldn't hear people. But you know what speaks louder than words? Our actions. What people does speaks volumes. And I'll say it like this, old S.M. Lockridge, that old great black preacher, preached that message on the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and you'll never hear a better message in your life on the Lordship of Jesus Christ besides S.M. Lockridge. Google it, YouTube it. Great message on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Wonderful stuff. But in that message somewhere, he said that while Jesus was on the cross and they mocked him and made fun of him and asked him questions and told him to come down, he said he didn't mumble a word because the silence said everything. And he said, Jesus said in his silence, I will show you that it's better to come up out of a grave than it is to come down off of a cross. Well, I thought, hallelujah, what a statement. Just his actions spoke volumes. Amen. I can remember being a punk kid in school, and the only thing changed about that is I'm not in school anymore, but I can remember being a punk kid in school. And we had one kid in my entire class that claimed to be an atheist with his mouth. I mean, he professed that he didn't believe in God. And would you believe I had a bunch of hooligan buddies? I didn't run around with the Christians in school, and I didn't run around with the straight-A students. I run around with the troublemakers and the guys that, you know, just got D's on their report cards. And them were my buddies because they were like me. And I can remember every one of them would give that atheist. I'm talking about guys that were rough in school. Every one of us would give that atheist a hard time. Every one of them would hassle him and you know, just give him a fit. But just simply because with his mouth he had made the statement, there is no God. I don't believe in God. And I was raised in a home, raised under some of the best preaching, and I believe in our time in the world. And heard some of the greatest preachers, I think, across America during that time. And so I had enough sense to believe in God and know why I believed in God. I'll never forget, Michael, one day I was a roam in the halls because I had a teacher. I'll skip that part, but I was a roam in the halls. And I bumped into this old boy that was an atheist. I said, "Glory to God, here's my time." And I wasn't saved. So I started in on him and I just started asking him questions, just simple questions. And the more questions I asked, the madder he got. And the madder he got, the happier I got. And I'll never forget getting him to the point to where he told me to go to hell. I got him so mad that he looked at me and said, "Go to hell." That was my day. He couldn't have said anything any better than that. I was so happy he told me that. I said, "Time out." I could just about remember his name. I can see his face right now. "Time out. I thought you said you didn't believe in hell." Man, that didn't make him no happier. He was trying to get away from me. He was trying to get down the hall, and I would continue to follow him and ask him these questions, and he would continue to breathe out these cursings toward me. And the more he cursed me, the more I would ask him questions. And we got over there to the arch enemy of mine. I mean, the one place out of the entire school. Well, the second place. I didn't want to be in class. And then number two, I didn't want to be in the principal's office. But he got up there at the principal's office. "Girls, y'all should have said amen." And I said, "I didn't want to be in class." But I didn't want to be in class, and I didn't want to be at the principal's office. And I got up there, and there he was at the principal's office. And he started running into the principal's office, and he cussed me using God's name in vain. And so I gladly invited myself in the principal's office, and I said, "Hey, you just said me. I thought you didn't believe in God." So I just harassed and harassed to the point to where the boy just completely forgot everything that his mouth said he believed. And he told the truth on himself because he started using the Lord's name in vain. And he started telling me places to go that he said he didn't believe in. I'm just trying to tell you, in reality, he believed a whole lot. I believe he was just seeking for some attention, seeking for something that he wasn't getting somewhere at home or wherever it might be. But you know what's the sad truth? You can take the average American that sits in a church. You can take and go to your average public bathroom, and you can lay a gospel track on the sink or on the toilet. You can walk back an hour later and you'll find them in the trash cans, and you'll find them on the floor. You can walk up to people up and down the marketplace, out in the world, down at the Walmart, and 90% of them attend some kind of a church somewhere. Some kind of a congregation, they're part of it. And you can hand out tracts, and people will mock it, and people will jeer it, people will reject it, and people then will receive it only to turn the corner and throw it in a trash can somewhere. Maybe go down a little bit further in the aisle and just kind of chuck that thing out beside their leg and let it fall to the ground where the dirt and the people walk. Do you know what I have to think when I see that kind of stuff? They didn't say so much with their mouth, but out of their heart, they said, "I don't believe in God. I don't want this stuff. I don't believe this stuff. This stuff ain't for me." Why in the world would somebody else walk away from Jesus Christ? Somebody help me answer these questions. Why in the world would somebody reject Jesus? Why in the world would somebody, why else would somebody rebel? Why else would somebody not seek after God? Why else would somebody not hunger? Why else would you not thirst? Why else would you not run to God? Why else would you not be on your face? Why else would you not weep? Why else would you not run to God? Can I be honest with you? One of the hardest things to do in America today is to tell the truth. I told you a couple of times, I believe most people just hate God, and it's okay. Isn't that amazing? God already knows we hate Him. He already knows we hate Him. The problem is we can't come to grips without ourselves. "Oh no, I don't hate God," because we're afraid that, man, I mean, we might be a bad person if we admit that. Guess what? We are. We are a bad person. Outside of God, ain't none of us worth a hill of beans outside of God. You know what else I have to come to grips with, babe? Most of us don't even believe in God. We have a little historical faith. "Oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, Holy Ghost." Listen, the Bible said, "If you love me, you keep my commandments." We can just stop right there, close the door, tell the truth, turn the lights out, go to the house, be honest with yourself. He said, "If you love me, you keep my commandments." I'm going to ask you one more time. Do you love Him?
You keeping his commandments?
Don't let me be the decider of that. Let the word of God be the decider.
If you love me, you obey my word. If you love me, you do what my Bible says.
Steve, one of the hardest things to try to get across in America today, because we was raised on Noah's Ark. We was raised on, maybe not the part of this generation, but my generation, we was raised on the flannel graph. We believed in those images on the flannel graph board. I believe, man, in the coat of many colors, when they put that coat of many colors on the flannel graph board, man, that was the historical faith that I had. I believed that stuff. I had a mama that loved me, and I knew she loved me. And she told me it was so. Sure, I believed it. Sure, I believed it.
But to look across America today and say, you don't even believe in God.
Because Zach, I honestly believe if we believe like we say we believe, we would be where we ought to be. Somebody help me. I believe if we believe like we said we would believe, I believe we would be in a different place. I believe our life would be different. Our walk would be different. I believe our hearts would be different. I believe our names would be in a different place. I believe it would be recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. You mean to tell me you believe what you hear from that Word of God, and yet you're still lost? You still choose to die and go to hell? You believe all that? There ain't nobody in their stinking right mind that chooses to die and go to hell. How many people have you ever met in your entire life? Yeah, they might be a few idiots. Yeah, they might be a few drunk. I'll just go to hell. They don't mean that. Excuse my carnality for a minute, but I do watch those historical documentaries. Okay? And I watched that great sniper out of Vietnam. What was his name? That man, 16 shots, 16 kills, that great sniper out of Vietnam. Kill all them people, shot that one sniper through the other sniper's scope and shot him right through his eyeball and blew his head up. You know what that man said? I'll come out rough. He said, I'm not a religious man. He said, you'd be amazed how close you get to God out there in that jungle. That's what he said. He said, you'd be amazed at how close to God you can get out there in that jungle. Preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about believing God. Bible said the fool has said in his heart there is no God. No, we wouldn't dare say that with our mouth. But I'll tell you what, our hearts scream that stuff sometimes. Our heart will scream these things because the fruit of our life is proof. The old saying, the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in your life. The proof is in the results. The proof is in your reaction. The proof is what you're doing with it. I tend to think, Steve, if we believed it like we said we did, we would handle Jesus a whole lot different. Including myself, in many cases. You know the same people that made fun of that atheist boy in school with me? I could go down the list, church, and name the names. I know them personally still today. I actually got to talk to one of them about 2 years ago. One of my best friends in school. Do you know what he's doing today? He's running Cherry's Bar, him and his wife on it. That beer joint up there, Miss Stephanie. All that sin just flows. And I thought that was one of my very best buddies down there in high school, and I can remember me and him giving that atheist a hard time. But you know what, Steve? That old boy may not sit with his mouth, but his life is screaming, I don't believe in God. If I believed, I wouldn't be owning this beer joint. If I believed, I wouldn't be living this life. If I believed, I wouldn't be living in... I said, if I believed, I wouldn't be living in sin like I'm living in sin. If I believed, I'd repent. If I believed, I'd turn to God. If I believed, I'd... Are you listening? If I believed, I'd grab a hold of the horns of that altar and I wouldn't let go until I had an answer from God. You know why people grab a hold of the horns of the altar? It's a matter of life and death.
The reason we ain't praying, the reason we ain't earnest, the reason we ain't on this thing is because we're taking it so lighthearted, and the reason we're this nonchalant and we could care less. And I believe this thing is because we really don't believe.
When old Solomon took that throne over there, Buddy Rowe, he had a brother that stepped out of line, and he feared for his life. And he went and grabbed a hold of the horns of that altar to his brother and said, "I promise you, I'm not going to kill you."
And I believe if we get serious and it becomes a matter of life and death to us, we get to the point where we truly believe.
We grab a hold of the horns of the altar and say, "God, I'm not going to let go like Jacob of old until you bless me. I'm not going to let go. I'm not coming out of here. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to quit seeking. I'm not going to quit coming to where you are, God, until you bless me and give me what I need."
You know what I believe about Jacob? I believe he believed. That's right. It was real to him. He did more than just built an altar, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. He laid a hold of God and said, "I'm not going to let go until you give me what I need."
Why else would you find a gospel tract laying on the floor? Why else? Because they love God?
Why do you think somebody would take a gospel tract and throw it on the floor?
Put it in the trash can. Trample on it. Me and my wife went to a place this week, and we dropped a gospel tract in the foyer. When you get into the foyer, there's a A unit and a B unit, and we were in the B unit. And we dropped one of our gospel tracts on the floor right there in front of their door, and I said, "Baby, leave it. Don't pick it up. We're supposed to end up anyway." I said, "Just leave it." I said, "If people go to hell, they're going to have to go to hell over the gospel. Leave it right there." It stayed there for 2 days, didn't it? I don't know who got it, but 3 days later, it was gone. That's enough, ladies and gentlemen. That's enough. Whether it was a housekeeper or whether it was the people. And it was the one, thank God, that I wrote that was a better health care plan, because we do have a better health care plan. Amen. We got this blessed assurance, and the world's offering insurance, and Jesus Christ is giving something that's eternal.
I wonder today if it could be that we've got by so long this caused us not to believe. Are you hearing that?
You know, a man can get caught up in lust. And I mean, he can get caught up in lust.
And because God don't smite him with some STD, he feels like he got by with it. And you can get by with stuff so long in your life. Are you listening? You can get by with stuff so long in your life. You can get by with telling your lies. You can get by with your manipulations. You can get by with conniving. You can get by with your covetousness. And you think you're getting by with this stuff while all along, listen to me, it's turning you into an unbeliever. Well, you don't even believe in God, because you believe in your heart that if you do wrong, and you believe in your mind that if you get off in this stuff, that God's going to really punish you, because that's what we've heard all of our life. And then there's people that's sitting there, and because they got caught up in lust and they've got by with it, and yeah, their conscience is bothering them a little bit, but that's about the gist of all of it. Their conscience bothered them for a while, but they still got their wife. They still got their kids. They ain't been given over completely physically in adultery, according to Matthew 5:28. You already committed it already in your heart. But we don't even believe that, because we ain't done it in our flesh. And all I'm trying to say is, sometimes when we get by with our sin, when we get by with the things that's in our life, we put that stuff, we get by with it so long that God becomes more of a myth than a reality.
Oh, friend, I tell you, people quit believing because they think they're getting by.
Let me ask you a question. If God's turning you into something like that, how much do you think you're getting by with?
I'd rather be an adulterer
than to be a reprobate.
I'd rather be a drunk than to say in my heart, there is no God.
I'd rather be a junkie than to say in my heart, God ain't real. We think we're getting by with it.
Not getting by with it. We're just losing the reality of God in our hearts and in our minds.
It's kind of hard to believe in God when you feel like God's never done anything. Kind of hard to believe in God when you ain't suffering judgment and persecution.
Kind of hard to believe in God. Listen, Brother Sammy talks about it quite often. A lot of us is born in pretty decent families and you was reared up correct. And you can have a conscience that bothers you. And you mistake that for chastening. And there's a world of difference between a guilty conscience and God taking you behind the woodshed.
But because our children are still intact, because our wives still love us, because our homes and our lives ain't fell completely apart, we feel like we've got by with it. God's not real. I'll tell you what's going to happen on these days, Miss Holly. You and your family will be in hell. And your daughter's going to bump into you and cuss you for everything that you're worth. You'll go to hell one of these days, and your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter is going to bump into you. You've kept it all together. You kept it together all the way to the lake of fire. And you're going to bump into each other down there. And you're going to hear your own family, your own children, your own spouse cuss you for everything you're worth. Kept it together, though. It's amazing, isn't it? Be a bad day to look over in hell and see your child. Be a bad day, husband, to look over in hell and see your precious wife that God gave you to lead that family and to love that family and to point that family to God. And you led that family to hell and your lust and your covetousness and your wickedness and your violence and your pride and your rebellion and lady, your lies and your conniving and your manipulation and all that stuff that's in your heart, them 13 evils that's protruding out of your heart. I'm telling you, you've kept all that stuff together and you're going to get to enjoy that bundle in the lake of fire for all eternity.
Fool has said in his heart, there is no God. No, I wouldn't say that with my mouth. But every time you walk away from God, you're saying that in your heart. Are you listening? Every time you reject God, every time you know you should pray, every time you know you ought to be seeking after Him, every time you know that He ought to be revealing yourself to you and you don't partake in that, you don't pursue that, I'm telling you what you're saying in your heart. God, you're a liar. I don't believe in you. Maybe not with your mouth, but with your heart. God's listening. He's searching the hearts, ladies and gentlemen. People get caught up and get by. Listen to what Mark 7 says. And he said, that which is cometh out of a man, that defileth a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Adulteries. Fornications, murders, just hating somebody. You know, we look at murder like you take a gun and you blow somebody's brains out. Let me tell you something. You're doing the same thing to somebody when you hate them. You're killing them. You're killing people. Man, the Bible said you're to love your neighbor. You're to love as Christ loved. Eric touched on it this morning. We ought to esteem others better than ourselves. I mean, man, we're to bear one another's burdens. We're to get under this thing with each other. I mean, we're to pray for each other. We're to love each other. We're to help each other. I mean, we really ought to be there for one another. You wouldn't believe what she said. I tell you, we gave him a gift to Hannah and she didn't even say thank you. What you give them to her for? You need her to say thank you. Say thank you. Take your little ego and your little pride and your little silly gift and carry it on to hell because that's where that stuff ends up.
I tell you, we can't. Did you see what she's doing? Hating people.
No good, church. Where is that stuff?
You know what? A lot of times, John David, you have to wait a long time, son, to hear what's in a person's heart.
A lot of times they all just smiley and,
hey, yeah, hey. You hang around a little while. Just in the process of time, you'll start hearing what's in that heart. I believe Sunday school teacher touched on it. Right.
The murders. What else is in that heart? Thefts. Covetousness. Wickedness. Can I tell you what a thief says? I don't give a flip what comes out of his mouth. Can I tell you what a thief says out of his heart? There is no God. There is no God. I can do this and get by. I can do this and have the power of God on me.
That's right.
Son, that
ain't God.
Covetousness says, I can covet. God, Jesus Christ, told that rich young ruler, he said, sell everything you got. Give it to the poor. Boy, he went away in a mess. Covetousness. Wickedness. Deceit. How about deceit, ladies and gentlemen? I want to touch that in a minute. Lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All this stuff screams, there is no God. There is no God. The fool has said in his heart, listen, where is this stuff found? It's found in the heart of a sinner. It's found in the heart of an unbeliever. That's why we had to have a heart transplant. That's why he has to put a new heart within us. Because the old one is full of sin. That stuff is what's screaming out, there is no God. It's foolishness in that heart. These evils that lie within the heart of man, because we don't see how defiled we truly are, then we really don't see the realness of God. Did you catch that? When you don't see how vile you really are, you really can't see how true and real God is. I say it all the time in my preaching, in my life. It's just, man, it just resonates in me that, Miss Stephanie, when I do come into the presence of a holy God, we hear these little contemporary, I mean, America's eat up with a wrong doctrine today. And man, we're going to go worship the Lord and they go bounce and shake their breasts and their hind ends and see your lights flashing and bouncing all over the place. And boy, we just worship the Lord. We got a worship team. We got a worship leader. Let me tell you who my worship leader is. It's the lovely Lord Jesus. And we don't worship that He shows up. But when He does show up, you probably ain't going to hear a peep out of me. Son, I'll try to find me a low place in here to crawl under somewhere, because when He shows Himself, He shows me. When I see His holiness, I see my wickedness. When I see His righteousness, I see my wretchedness. When I see how good He is, I see exactly how bad I am. And the bigger He gets, the smaller and the less I become. Just saying, until you see yourself, kind of hard to see what He is. Say, preacher, I don't believe it, really. Go read the first 5 chapters of Isaiah. Where Isaiah's pointing his fingers at the wickedness of the people. Y'all wicked. Y'all sorry. Y'all wicked. Y'all sorry. But in that 6th chapter, the year that King Uzziah died, the old man of God said, I saw the Lord. Amen. Well, I saw the Lord. Thank God when he saw the Lord, the glory of God filled the temple. And man, it changed everything when God showed up. You know what I think? I think people can go year after year and sermon after sermon, conviction after conviction, and just dismiss it. And just go on our merry way. And I'm not being ugly. I'm just saying that's what we do. Think about that. We hear messages from the Word of God. And I like what the Sunday school teacher said this morning. God have mercy on this congregation. He didn't give you much of a preacher, but He gave you a preacher. Man, He gave you a Bible. He gave you somebody that does speak your language and does understand your life and know where you live. And I get up, you get up, and you go to work, and I get up, and I go to work, and I understand what you go through on the job. I do the same stuff myself.
Just dismiss conviction and go on our way. Isn't it amazing that we can be lost and have just a big time tomorrow because our heart said there is no God? I tell you, if you're lost in here, and I don't mean to put a damper on everything, but I hope your life is dampered. I know that sounds mean, and most of the little preachers ain't going to tell you that, but if you're lost in here, I hope your life is dampered. I hope you can't sleep. I hope your food tastes awful. I hope your drink tastes bitter. I hope everything that you do turns inside out, upside down. I hope life's a total wreck. No way I want you to live comfortable and die and go to hell. No way. Thank God for some of them old preachers, Mama. I'd pay just to hear some of them pray. Sitting in there in that church, and y'all was with me, and that preacher got to pray, and God would break people's arms and legs. I thought, man, that's a wonderful prayer. Thank God. I'd rather have my arms and legs broke than to die and go to hell whole. Church, I think we're delusional. So delusional that we let our minds fool us into thinking what our hearts don't even believe. Our minds tell us something that our hearts truly don't even believe. Delusional. I believe it. I believe our hearts are so deceitful that it's convinced our minds that we believe when in fact our fruit is rotten to the core. Huh? Don't tell me! And their fruit is just as rotten. Don't you tell me I don't believe. Because their deceitful heart has convinced their delusional minds. Let me ask you a question. I'm trying to hurry. What good is holding everything together when it's only going to end up in hell? I came to tell you today that you need God, and the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. If you can remember Cain and Abel, how God desired the sacrifice between the two of them, and it was a blood sacrifice that he desired. Abel took that innocent lamb and shed its blood and made that sacrifice. And Cain went out, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. I know this is repetitious, but Cain went out, the fruit of his hands, and brought in all that food and laid it on the altar. And it was because his works, it's what he did, it's what he produced. God said, you know what, I'm not going to have it. You say, why would you bring that up? Because that's what I'm convinced most of us is doing today, Zach. I think we're convinced that our works is enough. Man, I go to church. I pay my bills. I take care. I love my wife. I love my kids. And God's going, you know what? Mm-mm. Nope. Nope. That's good. That's fine. But you'll go to hell with that. That ain't going to get you into heaven. God ain't ever changed, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says there ain't a chance of him changing. God don't change. It's always been the blood. It'll always be the blood. It's never been by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he's going to save you. That's right. You say, what's the difference, preacher? Listen, grace and mercy. Grace is giving you something you don't deserve, basically. Right? Grace is just simply God giving you something that you don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving you something that you do deserve. Deserve to die and go to hell, but God had mercy. You deserve to be judged for eternal with eternal damnation. God had mercy. I like the old song that we sung today. I like them old songs. In that my hand, no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Huh? It ain't about what I can do. It's about what he's done. Right. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sung that song earlier today. We'll see how attentive you are. What does the wounds of Jesus Christ cry? What are they saying?
What is the wounds, those five wounds it said that he received on Calvary? What is it that they're crying?
Forgive. Hallelujah. Man, what a good song.
Forgive them, oh forgive, let not that ransomed sinner die. Boy, I'm telling you. Arise, my soul, arise. Boy, I love it. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ hung on that cross, and by stripes we're healed, but those wounds are crying out every day for the soul of every individual that's sitting in this congregation lost. Those wounds that Jesus received for you on Calvary, they're crying, Father, forgive them, forgive them. Let not the ransomed sinner die.
I'm trying to say something to you this morning, church. If you can get up tomorrow and go about your little merry way, and your heart is not smitten with what Jesus Christ has done for you, your heart is screaming, there is no God. That's a hard reality to get a hold of, but I don't even know any other way to describe blowing God off. And to say he just ain't there, just ain't real.
Listen to Job. Job 14 said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Huh? Dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. What you talking about? I'm talking about life being just a vapor. Most of this congregation's pretty young. Pretty young. I'm not too old myself, but I want you to look at me real good in my God-given eyeballs. And I say this stuff all the time. Michael, you're going to be 50 in the blink of an eye. John David, you will be 50 years old in the blink of an eye. Stephen, you're blinking your eyes. But you're going to get 50 one of these days if the Lord allows it. You'll be 50 and you'll look back at your life and go, where did all that time go? I'm talking about the years just rolling off. The years just rolling off. And me and her yesterday just kind of sat around kind of gloomed and depressed because our baby boy is graduating college. He played his last college baseball game ever yesterday. It's over. It's kind of sad. As a parent, man, you're seeing these things pass. And I can remember, Zach, it seemed like yesterday we were sitting there in the lobby, and I can remember him getting on my nerves, throwing that ball up against the house as a little bitty boy just constantly pounding the house with that ball. And then I'd go out and beat the devil out of him for pounding the house with a ball. Now he's graduated.
I was riding down the road that day, Mama, with my oldest boy. We were talking about how time has flown by, and Jacob at his age, and he's like, Dad, I cannot believe I'm where I'm at.
I sat down to eat with my stepdad Wednesday night. We went over to the Waffle House, and this is what he looked across the table and said to me. He said, I'd have never guessed in a million years I'd be in this shape that I'm in.
He said, but David, it happened so fast, I didn't even have time to think about it. He just got on me. Mom, I let Jacob out of the car, and I was just thinking about time. And it was just a little while, y'all. I was coming down I-85, and something reversed and started happening in my soul. Because I wasn't thinking about growing old anymore, Eric. I was thinking about every second that I get older, I'm getting closer to home. Miss Stephanie, I got to thinking about my long home. And instead of sitting there depressed, right down the road, there was a rejoicing starting in my soul, and I began to rejoice. And
Man, thank God, and looking forward to going to my long home and getting to be with Jesus and enjoy the rest of eternity in heaven. And man, I'm telling you, instead of being depressed, I began to get excited and happy about it. Thank God that, man, one of these days, thank God, the trumpet of God's going to sound and I'm going to get to go to my home. And I mean, man, we just pilgrims and strangers here. But one of these days, thank God, there won't be no more sin and no more devil and no more death. There won't be no more hospitals. There won't be no more hard times. There won't be no more devil. I'm telling you, thank God. I rejoice in the fact that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't it amazing that the most depressing things that this old world can throw at you, God can turn you gloom into gladness. Ain't it a blessing to know Jesus in times like that, huh? I'm telling you, the old writer said that if we had hope only in this life, we would be of most fall men most miserable. I'm telling you, man, if my life was here and this was all I had, if everything I had was going to be right here now, I'm telling you, it'd be a miserable life. Yeah. Sister quoted a while ago, what shall it profit a man? He should gain the whole world and lose his own soul. People's living like they're going to be here forever. They're building houses like they're going to be here forever. They're piling up bank accounts like they're going to live here forever. Poor little hungry children. These suckers is hoarding up money. Piled up, couldn't ever spend it all. I'm telling you, one of these days, thank God, Jesus is going to clean this whole mess out. He's coming back for His bride. He's coming back for His church. He's going to take His youngins home. And thank God, I look forward to that blessed day. For me. It's going to be a sad day, Miss Stephanie, when the saints of God are standing on the correct side of that great white throne. And I look on the wrong side of that throne, standing before the Lamb of God. And I see those that I love, especially to get the command to be cast into the outer darkness into that lake of fire. Oh my God. And I have to look at them people that I love. And they hear Him say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. It's going to be a bad day. It's going to be a bad day. They'll stand that day and say, all in years my heart didn't really believe. I really didn't believe. I really didn't believe. And they're going to try to find ways to connive and lie and justify. But Lord, my neighbor done me wrong. Lord, my preacher, he messed up. Lord, my friends, hey, they went back on God. And God's going to, Jesus is saying, depart from me. I never knew you. It's not based on anybody else but what you're going to do with me. It's going to be tough. I've got children that's going to be standing on the wrong side of that throne with God that don't intervene. I've got somethings that I'm going to have to look at on the other side. If we was going to go today, I'm going to have to look at a couple of my boys on the other side of that throne today. Church, I want you to understand something. There's two things in this world that means more to me than everything in this life. One of them is my family, my wife, and my sons. The second most important thing in my entire life is this congregation. There's not one soul in here that I don't love today. There's not one soul in here I don't lift your name up to Jesus. Not one soul I want to stand over there at that great white throne and watch Him pronounce judgment into your life. It's going to have to be a day that Jesus wipes away all of our tears. Because, Miss Holly, I'm going to be so broke and so hurt to watch people that I love in this congregation that has heard the gospel and heard the gospel and heard a preacher stand up and say, what's wrong? Don't you even believe in God? To turn and walk away. And I'll go home today, church, and I'm just being honest with you, and I'll go home today and feel like a failure. I'll go home today and feel like I didn't do Jesus justice, and I didn't. I don't need your pampering and petting.
Listen, you're not going to help me. There's no way I can do that word justice. I'll fail no matter how hard I try, but I'm going to do my best. That's what Jesus asked me to do. I don't mean to bore you, but some of you's going to die and go to hell, and your family's going to have to watch you if you don't do something about it. I told you last week, really kind of got reservations about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I really want to see him come, but I don't want to see him come today. God forbid. Too many people I know going the wrong place. Too many people I love is going to hell. So preacher, it's okay. Everything's okay. I want you to listen to me. I know this is far-fetched, but I bet Mama, if we could set Bill Gates right here today, one of the richest men in the entire world, his testimony would be like, life is good. Life's okay. Man, I've got everything. What shall it profit man? He should gain the whole world and lose his own soul. His heart says, I don't need God. I don't believe God. He'll stand before a holy Christ one day and have to give an account for rejecting Jesus Christ. Give an account for that covetousness. Give an account for that pride. They give an account. And I'm telling you something, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to understand this. God's mad at you. We all think he's just God of love, and that's because we don't really know him. The Bible says he's angry with the sinners every day. He looks over on his right hand and his face is continually before him, and Jesus constantly are sitting there looking at each other. Right there, they're constantly looking at each other, and he sees those wounds. And he's reminded of what his son did daily. When sinners denounce him, when sinners spit on him, when sinners reject him, he's angry with the sinners every day. Listen to what the Bible says. Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. I'm going to ask you a question. And I mean every word that I'm going to ask you. Do you know today without a doubt, without an inkling or a shadow of a doubt, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? I stopped right there on my way back up to the platform, Ms. Holly, and just examined my heart and my mind for doubt. No doubt. I could search for the rest of my life, Zach, and I believe, because I was in them woods the night God saved me. There's no doubt. God saved me. I'm just trying to say, when you can't say that, you're letting nothing or nobody or anything hinder you from getting that settled with God. Michael, what y'all doing is a good thing. It's a godly thing. It's a holy thing. Nobody ever convinced me you shouldn't help children. Never. I always think you should help the children.
Man, it kind of just makes me feel like Jesus when he said, let suffer the little children to come unto me. Let them come. Glory to God. I don't care, man, if we have to get out and pick up cans, do you hear me? To feed them. God will provide. He'll supply. He'll put some cans. Are you listening to me? God put some cans on the side of the road for you.
I say that because you can build a children's home. And one of the great things I love about Lester Roloff is the fact that he took in all them mean youngins, and I thank God for it. Never heard one bad thing on Lester Roloff, did you? I've never in 50 years heard anything silly about him and any of them kids. Been a holy man with a holy testimony. But you know what? What he says before God, I don't care how many kids he got at home. His name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life. It ain't going out to a hill of beans.
Right. There's lost people, ladies and gentlemen, that do tremendous things. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, there's charities in this world. Them people are a bunch of sinners on their way to hell, and they give away millions and millions of dollars to little orphans and stuff, children and people suffering and all over the world.
If your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, it's all vain and vexation. Don't mount to hell of pains. 1 John 1 says this. In the beginning was the Word. I'm done, church. There's so much more I want to say. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So I just want you to understand that everything that ever has been created was created by Jesus and for Jesus. Everything was about Him. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Mary figured that out. When Jesus came to their house, and Martha had, it took her a little longer. It's all about Him. Huh? Jesus said, one thing's needful, and Mary's chosen that good thing. Set at His feet. Boy, wasn't nothing wrong with what Martha was doing. She was doing some good stuff. Everybody, let me step down here and say that. All you women ought to clean your house and wash your dishes. And wash your husband's clothes and cook him some meals and take care of them children and bathe them and wash their hair. That's right. Take them little girls and fix their little fingernails and toenails and all the other little things. I mean, just fix them up. Amen. Amen, preacher.
Take advantage of that.
Steve, I'm about to buy me a sewing machine.
I'm going to start making me some dresses and skirts that I can sell to some of these so-called Christians, and because you can't hardly find no appropriate clothing for you ladies anymore. And since they won't let a woman learn how to sew anymore, I think I'm going to make that money. You're going to learn how to sew, ladies. That's right. I've been listening to that John Wesley audio. They said one of the sharpest things about him, they made his own clothes. Said he was a sharp dressed man. Had all that stuff tailored because they made their own clothes. I said, man, praise God for people that can do stuff like that. That's a blessing.
And men ought to get their tail out of the bed and go to work and get what Brother Donnie Harvey said, one of them crazy three-letter words. A J-O, what do you say? B? And go to work. I like the way Brother Donnie preached that here that day. Praise God. Because he had a bunch of people sitting in here living off of welfare. And I mean white, healthy people. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Everything was about Him. Then Revelation 21. If you'll read verses 8 through 27, you'll see everything finishes with Him. It all started with Him. It all finishes with Him, and everything in between is about Him, and without Him, nothing matters. Nothing matters. I'm done. I got a couple of questions. Just ask yourself this question. Where will I be 1,000 years from now? You're going to be somewhere. And I promise you, there ain't a Highlander sitting up in this congregation. You're going to be in heaven or hell. You'll be in heaven on the lake of fire. When hell's cast into the lake of fire. 1,000 years from now, where are you going to be? Where are you going to be 5,000 years from now? Where are you going to be 10,000 years from now? You're going to be somewhere. Where are you going to be for 50,000 years from now? You'll be somewhere. Where are you going to be in 1,000,000 years? Do you realize that if you go to hell for 1,000,000 years, you're going to be there? Do you realize for 5,000,000 years, you're going to be there? For 10 million years, you'll be there. And forever and ever and ever, just torment nonstop. I mean, you'll fall and fall and fall into the darkness, into the damn, into the abyss, into eternal damnation. 10 billion years, you'll still be there. But if you'll get that foolishness out of your heart through repentance, I promise you, you can live with Jesus. Live with Jesus. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying you're going to have to repent. So, preacher, I don't know what to repent of. Then you need to be on an altar somewhere, whether it's beside your bed, out in the woods, out in a building somewhere, along with God, until He reveals to you your ways. Right. Because I'm going to tell you what you're doing right now. Your heart is saying there is no God. There is no God. I'm going to tell you what God said about that. He said, that's a fool. That's a fool. Boy, you read through that book of Proverbs and you can see the ways of a fool. And I tell you, man, it's just so many things that fit us. To deny Jesus, to walk away, to not seek after Him, to not be serious. Be something if we had to send under Apostle Paul. Until some of you fell out and broke your neck. God help us. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I've done my best. I pray, God, that you'd take my efforts today, Lord, and you'd do the rest. I pray, blessed Father, that you would do, God, what I cannot do. I pray that you'd give the increase. Lord, I've tried to plant. I've tried to water. I pray, Father, for the increase of God Almighty. Lord, I pray for every soul sitting in this congregation. Lord, I pray that you'd do a work of grace in their heart. Help us, dear God, to seek after you and not quit, dear God, till we get what we need from heaven. Help us, God, never let go of the horns of the altar until we hear from God Almighty. Lord, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.